Welcome to Sports Girls Podcast, brought to you by sportstalk.ie. Our podcast will be available every Monday covering the 2019 ladies football and camogie seasons. You can find our podcast on all online platforms by searching Sports Girls Podcast. Stay tuned to Sports Talk this year via the hashtag GAA Family as we continue our promotion of hurling, football and camogie. Good evening and welcome to Sports Girls Podcast. I'm Denise O'Flaherty and I'm delighted to be joined again by Mayo's finest, Diana Hoare, this evening. And Amanda Brosnan, the captain of Kerry, is our guest this evening. So girls, busy weekend of games. Of course, Diana, you were watching your native county today. Amanda, you were in action yesterday for Kerry ladies. So we'll just start you going through Division 1, Diana. Galway made it 2 wins out of 2 with a 2-point win over Monaghan. Donegal obviously had that win over Mayo. Tipperary found the going tough against Dublin. Dublin brought back a few of their big guns for that game, while Westmeath lost at home to Cork. So you expected those results to go that way. You know, even last week you kind of thought yourself that Mayo might find the going hard against Donegal and Dublin were going to come back and get a result against Tipperary. And you, both you and Nadine, predicted those 4 results.
Yeah, I think probably, I suppose, we were a bit tough on Monaghan all the same. You know, they did very, very well against Galway's result in the previous week. And, you know, I suppose, like I said, really the one I was saying today on the co-commentary with the live Facebook broadcast, basically, she just reiterated a couple of times, like, this is the second week in February football. You know, there's wind, there's rain, there's all sorts of different weather conditions that both teams have to put up with. So, being hard on Monaghan last week, I know that it's a 2-point loss or whatever for them, but they gained confidence from that because of the result the week before. So, the Tipperary game with Dublin, yeah, like, Dublin had their sharpshooters and they were in form today as well, like, and you know, they had various goal scorers as well, and you can see there the difference in the reflection of it just because of all the goals that were scored. The Cork-Westmeath game, that being at home to Westmeath and Cork having to travel, that was a very good result as well for Cork, absolutely. And I know that Westmeath got to play that at home as well. Is it Cusick Park and Mullingar?
Yeah, they got to play at home.
Yeah, so they'll be very disappointed in that now, I think, for sure. The Donegal Mayo game, that was a very competitive game, and I think it's credit actually to LGFA to maybe, you know, what Jerome Quinn has put into play there with his media team, because it was a fantastic game to have the ability to see when you can't travel that far to a match. And the service was really, really good. Commentary at Marie Devaney was great, and there was great excitement through the game. It was a very competitive up and down end to end game of football. I think, you know, Mayo made a lot of changes that for, you know, players that were doing very well. So obviously, you know, they seem to have put no real value on the result in a sense because, you know, they made them very early in the second half. But it was great to see the potential in both of those teams. It was great to, I suppose, from a personal point of view, to see, you know, the Mayo team up against a Donegal team that did very well last week as well in their match against Dublin.
We're going to go on to Division 2, and we've got an on-the-scene reporter, really, because you were there yesterday, Amanda. Kerry and Waterford played out a draw. You also were on the score sheet.
Yeah. We drew as well last week, so we've only 2 points on the board now with 2 draws. We were in control for 95% of the game yesterday. We were ahead for all of the game. I think they scored kind of they scored a goal with about a minute to go in normal time in the second half. And they actually went up 1 then after that. But we had great kind of drive in us to go down and get the equalising point. We shouldn't have never been in that position anyway, to be honest. We were in control for the whole game. I don't really know how we let it slip. We had 2 goals disallowed, unfortunately. But you look, that's the way it goes. We live to fight another day. We're still undefeated, I suppose.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, you have to take the positives out of it. And just while I have you there, the biggest result of the weekend, especially in Division 2, was Armagh's win over Cavan. You know, I thought that game might be a bit tight, you know, as an Ulster derby, James Daly up against his former team. But Armagh won that so comfortably.
Yeah, I just saw the result there today, 217 to 3 points. It's a massive, massive win for Emma. That's the kind of a shock result. I did think it'd be a bit tighter. By the looks of it, it looks like Emma are going to be the team to try and beat in the league.
Yeah, Diane, yourself, you felt that Cavan might get it, and I thought, you know, Cavan would run them close because a good draw against Tyrone the week before, but that was a heavy defeat for Cavan.
Yeah, like I completely underestimated our man. Hopefully now we'll get to see one of their games as well along the way. You know, you could, like, I'm not to say anything about conditions, but it looks like Cavan couldn't get the ball out because to only score 3 points with the forwards that they have, unless they all weren't there today, I find it really strange. But ultimately, it's clearly the pressure that Armagh were putting on the Cavan keeper, and it looks like they just couldn't get the ball out.
Yeah, in the other games in Division 2, Tyrone defeated Laois and Wexford and Clairdrew, so the first point on the board for Wexford.
The Division 2 table is actually wide open now because there's been so many draws. There was 2 draws this weekend and 2 draws last weekend. So, we're actually fourth in the table.
Yeah.
And, like, we only have 2 points. We just don't even have a win. So, like, I mean, I know for us it's not ideal to be drawing because we want the wins, but it's actually great that the other teams are drawing as well because it will suit us.
And I know, obviously, your own division. Would you keep an eye on the other divisions or just maybe Division 1, or would you kind of have a glance over Division 3 and 4 as well?
I'd always kind of have a glance at them, but I suppose really it's Division 1 that I'd be kind of keeping an eye on. Just pure curiosity of who's playing who, and you always kind of talk to yourself like, well, who you expect to win, and then you kind of just look at the results. And obviously, I'd be very interested in the Division 2 results today now because we played yesterday. You know, just wondering. And then you're always like, say for example, now like last week, Waterford beat Wexford well.
Yeah.
So we played Clare last week, and then Wexford and Clare met this weekend. So you're kind of trying to compare. Well, if they drew, where are we in relation to when we play Wexford?
As a player, would you like just, you know, go on social media or whatever websites to just have a look at things like team sheets and match reports and all that kind of stuff just to make yourself more aware, or do you just kind of box yourself off and say, you know what, that's actually not my business, I won't game to play or whatever?
No, I wouldn't really read match reports now, to be honest, but what I'd always, the coverage from the Ladies Gaelic on Twitter is excellent. And then obviously at the end of every weekend on the Sunday night, I'd go into the website and just look at the tables to see where things are and who's standing where. So, you know, because there's pressure on as each game goes by, because you're obviously fighting for those semi-final spots.
I was just listening on the way home from Longford's match in Carlow today that our national broadcaster, RTE, they just announced Division 1 results, and I was like, yeah, there's 3 other divisions, so... you know, it's weird. I know the social media is absolutely brilliant, and the LGFA have really upped their game. And communication side there, you know, Jackie Cahill is the main guy there. Like, it's absolutely fantastic. But it would be nice, though, if RTE kind of, you know, give the ladies a little bit more. Division 3, Diane, this was one results that we didn't see coming. Wicklow had a great win over Down, and they actually played their game before the men's game in Aucklin. Kildare were beaten by 2 points by Roscommon, and they're actually winning in that game. Longford got their first points on the board as well. They beat Sligo by 6 points, and that was a very high-scoring game in Glennon Brothers Pierce Park. And then it was all too easy for Meath against Offaly, so we kind of expected that result.
Yeah, like Meath will really be, you know, the team, one of the teams, I suppose, the top two teams in that division to watch. Like they've oceans of forwards to pick from there. Their defence is really strong. They've Monica McGurk in goal. They're very mobile midfielders. Like, you know, only just from my own experience in Meath a few years ago, like we were playing in Division 2, and I think we only had three of those players actually that are on that panel now. And all of those girls were, I suppose, brought up by the under-16 manager at the time, because they actually won a Leinster title. Most of the girls that are on that team now, probably the only Leinster title A that Meath had won in a very, very long time. And now you can see the difference, you know, the benefit to them having beaten Dublin in that Leinster final, historic win as it was. And Peter Byrne was involved with them at the time. And I remember just looking at them saying, what unbelievable players like they're going to be like when they start, you know, at the time they were senior, I thought they were going to be in a position to play senior. But they'll be looking at this division, they'll probably win it.
Yeah.
And then I'd have a very high expectation that they wouldn't go on much further if they don't, there's something seriously wrong if they didn't win All Ireland this year with the talent they have. Longford, what an unbelievable turnaround. To just miss out on a win last week then to score 4-14. Whether it be Breeze or not, Sligo got 4-8. I know the Sligo haven't had a competitive game yet, I think, because they couldn't play Meath last week. But looking at the score of Meath versus Offaly, it didn't affect Meath. So, you know, that can't be a reason for Sligo. Fantastic results for Longford. And they could do very well. They could be a surprise package in this division. Wicklow had a great win to Down. I think Down travelled to Wicklow for that, as you said. You know, that's a long journey and an early start for them. But again, it's not an excuse. Down were at the early stages of redeveloping since last year, and they need to work a little bit harder. You don't see many of their teams of underage performing. And, you know, it's not to say you don't have to go on All Ireland, but, you know, there has to be something coming up to show, like, what the cream will be there for their senior team. So it was a great result for Wicklow. And Wicklow have some serious forwards as well. Kildare and Roscommon, Jerome Quinn actually had announced during the Mayo Donegal stream the score. And I think from what I can recall, that game was over at half-time where Roscommon were, Kildare were hammering Roscommon. Yeah. And what a massive turnaround Roscommon had. They won it by 2 points. So, I thought Roscommon would win that game.
Yeah.
So I suppose I was kind of watching the result to see how wrong I actually could have called it. So I was fortunate then Roscommon won it in the end, I guess.
And we just
say I was right.
And we just go through Division 4. Antrim lost out at home to Fermanagh. Louth had a very comfortable win over Kilkenny. Big one was Limerick were beaten by a point by Carlow, so great result for Carlow. Well, Leitrim and their new manager, Gavin Cawley, he finally got a game. It was their first game this weekend. They defeated Derry by 1 point.
Yeah, the Leitrim result, I think, will be something that, you know, that will mean an awful lot to a lot of people. Obviously not to Derry, you know, for losing the game, but I think from a Leitrim point of view, for a team that hasn't been able to see the heartbreak that the players and county were going through, that they turned that around with a 3-3 win today, so that was great. Yeah, very good result for Fermanagh, and I think that I was kind of expecting that as well. And then Louth beating Kilkenny, it's very tough on Kilkenny, and you can see you wouldn't know again if it was Breezy there or not. But Louth were in an All Ireland final last year.
Yeah.
You know, they have experience. What that does is that creates positivity, it creates confidence. So everything that you've been doing building up to an All-Ireland final, you're just actually getting better at all the things you're already good at each time you go out and play. And that would have brought more teams into the panel and everything like that. They're a very hard ask as well for Kilkenny, who are just developing. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough group to call who's going to win it. You know, Louth will be looking very well, very strong there as well. And Fermanagh's result today kind of makes them look a little bit stronger as well.
Amanda, during the week, Mayo had a novel way of announcing their team for this weekend's game against Donegal. Did you see it? Because it really sparked a lot of talk, and the amount of views and hits that it had on Twitter was unreal.
I actually didn't see it at all. What
they'd done was, you know the way that in the All-Ireland final, or you watch it on Sky Sports, they'd announce the soccer team and they'd have in goals, and then they'd have obviously the player coming out and be a picture of the player and their name.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the way it was. And I just thought it was a fantastic way of doing it, because, you know, you see names on team sheets, but you don't see faces.
Especially the case in ladies, like, sure, you wouldn't be recognised at all compared to men. Fantastic. I never saw that. I was actually having a look at that.
That
was just on social media, was it?
It was on Twitter. I just happened to spot it on Twitter the other night. I think it was actually Diana Hora had it up first, so that's how I spotted it. Just go on to the Mayo LGFA page and you'll be able to see it. It was fantastic. It had so thousands of hits, like, within a couple of minutes of it. Diane, do you know the background on it? Was it Peter that was behind it, or a PRO or secretary? Who was behind doing that with it?
I actually have no idea. I'd imagine the players and management, I'd say, they're all kind of involved, because it had to have been some professional team that's meant to do it. Exactly what Amanda said there, like, you could be playing, representing your county for, you know, 10 years, and unless you're forward to scoring all the scores and clear the match in every game, getting your photo in the local paper, no one will even probably know what you look like. And, you know, people talk about, you know, 2020 and all these different, you know, I suppose, different sort of, what would you say, programs that are kind of being developed at the moment to try and increase participation and awareness and all that. But like if they're saying, you know, they're saying things like, "On C you can't be," and like just exactly what Amanda said there. Like if she's walking around the streets of Kerry, is there a kid not turning around saying, "Oh my God, that's Amanda Roslin, yeah. She's captain of the Kerry ladies team"? And like really, they should be. Like ultimately, when we talked about like advertising, it seems to be maybe one or two teams that seems to get all of the funds, or they seem to get all the media or press for like national sort of entities like that. But like locally, I know from at home and all, I know like it's been local Mayo girls that have opened the new Living store. And that's a credit to Lidl as well. They're really pushing, you know, those female athletes like that are playing LGFO to be seen, to be recognised. And, you know, that's put them at the forefront of that. But like this as an idea, I think there's well over 100,000 views on this up to a few days ago. And it's probably going to set the bar, because you know what? Now, me, for example, I'm able to look at all these new girls that are in the Mayo panel and I'm able to go, all right, that's what she looks like. That's what she yeah. looks like. And now, you know, I'm not a kid, like, in terms of looking for a hero or whatever. But still, how important is it for me to be able to look at the Mayo team and talk to you about it and actually be able to put a face to the name? Because you're not going to be able to do that, like, unless, you know, something like this is used. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, now that the LGFA are doing more of their Facebook Lives, and then obviously TG Carter will have games further on, or even Air Sport, wouldn't it be great if they could think of something like that? Because you know yourself, when you're watching a game on the pitch, you know, someone, on, you could see the name of the jersey, but you wouldn't know what the face looks like. And obviously, ladies footballers, Amanda, aren't out there as much as the men's football. Because if you heard Peter Crawley's name be mentioned, or even Sean O'Shea now, you wouldn't even have to turn around to see what he looks like, because you kind of know what he looks like because they're out there. Whereas it'd be nice now that if, you know, you were playing and instead of having to look around and see what does Amanda Roslin look like, that you already know what she looks like.
Well, that's it exactly. Like there's not one male Kerry senior men, you know, the men that aren't recognised yeah. by people up to, you know, down to the age of five or six, like, you know, that's what happens in Kerry. Like you're just laying in the back garden and the boys and girls have the heroes and they're all male, like, and it would be nice to well, I suppose I know that there's probably pros and cons, like, but I know for like I wouldn't be well known, recognized around the county, maybe in Killarney where I'm from, maybe, yeah, but you know, like I remember going into a game there about 3 years ago and driving in like an hour before the game, and the person on the gate was stopping me saying, "Are you, you know, going to ask me to pay?" And I was like, "It's grand, I'm playing," like, you know. So, there's not much recognition really in the ladies, except, like you said, the people who are winning, players of the match, the forwards who do all the scoring and taking all the frees and things like that. But, look, it is definitely getting better with the coverage. It's just massive, massive, massive.
Yeah, it just needs to improve a bit more. Over the weekend, we had five girls from Ireland playing in the AFL, which is fantastic. Two girls, obviously, from your own province, Amanda, and girls you probably played against as well, Ashley McCarthy and Eilish Considine. Then we have Yvonne Bonner, Cora Staunton and Sarah Roy. I'll just go through for anyone that wants to know how they've done. Yvonne Bonner was playing for Great Western Sydney Swans, same team as Cora Staunton. They lost that game, but Yvonne scored a goal. Cora got injured, but she was named as one of the best performers. Sarah Rowe, my old woman again. Diane Collingwood, she played the loss, but she was listed as one of Collingwood's best performers. Ashley McCarthy was playing for the Western Bulldogs, a win, and it was her debut, and she scored a goal. So we all know what Ashley can do. And then Eilish Considine played for the Adelaide Crows today. She started and they won the game. Amanda, it's probably great for those girls. Would you have liked to have gotten a shot of going out there, or were you ever given the opportunity to go out to Australia?
You know, I was only thinking about that there the last couple of days. Absolutely. What female Gaelic football player wouldn't like to do something that like they love and get paid for it, you know, in a serious elite setup? Absolutely would have loved the opportunity. And I saw that Yvonne Bonner went out, and she's actually married as well, and I'm married as well. Only recently, so I suppose my life now is probably, you know, here. Even if the opportunity did come, you know, it would be obviously a very hard decision. If I was in my early 20s, maybe it might be something I'd consider to go to trials or something like that. But yeah, it'd be absolutely amazing to do it.
Isn't it great to see, you know, the five girls? Is something that I know I was doing obviously for research for the show, but I would have done it myself. looking to see how those girls are doing, because you know yourself, once someone from Ireland is playing anywhere in the world, any sport, we always want to see how they get on.
Absolutely, and like that, you see on social media, particularly Twitter, like you'd be following these girls and you're following different teams. Mm. Like, I mean, the ladies Gaelic are very good for kind of retweeting things. I think Ashley McCarthy had stuff up the Tipperary Twitter page, was retweeting things for her. Like, there was fierce celebration for her and her goal that she got. And that's fantastic to see. And I think there's only going to be more and more and more girls going out there. Like, there's actually open trials now, kind of in September. And I think as far as I'm aware, like, you know, you just kind of apply for it. So if you wanted to go and really give a shot at it, you could. So it's going up and up. I think definitely there'll be a lot of more girls heading down.
Exactly. Diane, I'm just looking at their pictures and I'm just seeing the suntans and the sun, and I am absolutely so jealous of it all. But, you know, five girls from Ireland, the five of them playing this weekend out in Australia. Fantastic achievement.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, what an opportunity it is. And, you know, you're in such a luxury position, like as Amanda was saying, you're getting paid for it. You're looked after. It's the hyper-professionalism, like you're full-time athletes out there. And I just think that, God, I know so many players that would be their dream, because whether it be Gaelic football or AFL or whatever, they love, you know, being athletes. And, you know, they eat this stuff up every day of the week. Like, you can imagine the players that are playing for any of their counties. You know, I'm sure you know Denise from Longford yourself. Like, if the girls got that opportunity to be full-time athletes, to actually get paid for it, that, you know, that you could survive while you were training, like, in those weather conditions. I think the Collingwood game was in very wintry, kind of windy conditions, but I'm sure it wasn't that cold. But in saying that, like, you know, what an absolute privilege it is. And the best part is they can come away back. And if your team get as far as the league semi-final stages, even if you went the whole way to the final, it still be back for that.
That's it. Well, now, Amanda, first of all, you mentioned being married. You're married to a Cork man. Is there rivalries in the house at all?
No, he's sports Kerry ladies, is he? That's the compromise. No, he does more giving out about the Cork, the men, so he just follows us.
I tell you, at this moment in time, I think Kerry ladies could end up beating, or Cork ladies could end up beating the Cork footballers, where they're going. Sorry, I don't mean to say that. Last year, it was a tough year, you know, relegated out of Division 1, you know, you had a problem with your manager. How hard was it to kind of get over that and then look ahead to the championship? You got to a Munster final, obviously, you know, your neighbours Cork defeated you.
Yeah, last year was low year. We got rid of our manager kind of, I think it was towards the, we kind of knew he was stepping down before the league was actually finished. And then we were kind of in limbo for about 4 weeks. We didn't have a manager, and our kind of strength and conditioning coach just coached us. And then we got a new manager. We literally just turned up for training one night and he was there. We had no idea who it was. To be honest, most of us had never even heard of him. And so he stepped in, you know, but I mean, it's very difficult when you're so far behind. This wasn't until probably the start of June when he arrived. And like you're 5 months behind, you know, where you should be, getting to know his style, just getting your fitness up. And the morale had been low since the start of the year. And to be honest, I mean, he did his best to try and change things. But it's hard to kind of, when you get stuck in a rut with a low morale, and we were missing girls from the year before. And like, we actually essentially only had a panel of about 22 last year. Like, girls didn't want to come back. You know, that's how bad it was. So it was, you know, we got to the Munster final, but I mean, essentially there was only three or four teams in Munster last year. You essentially have to win one game to be in the Munster final. So I wouldn't really take much from getting to a Munster final, you know. It was just difficult year all round, to be honest. But look, this year now things have picked up, even though we haven't got any wins. But like I said, we're undefeated. So, I mean, you have to take the positive.
I know you don't want to go into the politics side of things, but was it something that the Kerry County Board could have handled better? Because, you know, it left players without a manager for so long, then having to come in, and then he obviously hadn't time to prepare you. You obviously hadn't time to be prepared for a championship.
Well, like, I see, the Kerry ladies manager job is not a job that there's people queuing up to take. Obviously, down here, the men's is going to be in the spotlight. You know, there's probably CVs upon CVs being sent into the men's county board if that job was vacant. For the ladies, they're actually looking for people. And I'd say the problem was that there was nobody applying, genuinely, which is a sad state of affairs, like.
Yeah.
So I think they just had to kind of approach someone in the end and ask them to take over, you know. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of it. That's not my business inside the county board, what goes on there. But look, I'm sure they would have done their best for us. It just, there's no one queuing up for the job, like, you know.
At that time, Amanda, when things were really difficult, when you didn't have anyone, you know, were you looked after in terms of, like, you know, having a pitch where you could train yourself? You know, did you have access to a gym? Like, was there anything put in place for yourself to give you, you know, I suppose, like, the opportunity to at least keep yourself in shape, you know, keep your fitness high or anything like that?
Well, like we did, we trained in the Tralee IT pitches all of last year, and we just kept the same training slot, like, so we did train away, but we just didn't really know what was happening, like, you know, there was, every single time you meet one of the players or you're talking to players, you're like, oh, any word, like, you know, did you hear anything, or I heard this person is applying, and you're like, oh, right, yeah, really, and then you'd hear from someone else, that's complete, you know, it's not true at all. So we just really didn't know what was going on, to be honest. And the county board, to be honest, they weren't really communicating with us. And that's one thing that, you know, this year kind of as captain role, tried to be really, have really good communication between the players and the management and the county board so that we know what's going on, so that they know what's going on. And so that, like, if they want to do something, it's nice to kind of be approached and say, what do you think about this? And do you want this food after a game or whatever, you know, it's nice because, like, I suppose I'm around this setup over 10 years. Like, I know what works and I know what doesn't work. And I know, and like, you know, excuse my language, but girls give out and girls bitch. Mm. That's in our nature, you know. So it's nice to kind of, like, we know what works and what doesn't. And girls will give out if it's not good enough, you know. So the communication is massive. And last year it just wasn't there, so I'm trying to really keep it open. I'm putting in a big effort this year, you know.
Is that a lot of extra pressure on you, though, like, as a captain, you're trying to just play yourself and, you know, like, focus on your own game and your own performances and stuff? Is that a lot of pressure? Like, would there be a liaison person there that would probably take a lot of that off you, or, you know, do your management take over a lot of those worries?
Yeah, look, there's not extra pressure on me at all, because I suppose I would always have been pretty vocal anyway, whether it be on the pitch or in the change room or, you know, towards management. I suppose the longer you're there, the more comfortable you get, you know, whereas if you're first in the panel, like, you'd often, people would say something to you and they were like, sure, say that to him there. And they'd be like, I can't say that, I'm only in the door, you know, that kind of attitude. We have a girl in our kind of management team, and she's in now the change room, and she kind of just chats with people. So we pass on messages to her, and she passes it on then to the management, that kind of way. So no, I don't really think there's much extra pressure. Like,
very optimistic moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, to be fair now, it's been really, really good this year. Everybody's enjoying it. The morale is great. Everybody's getting on. You know, I mean, last year there seemed to be kind of cliques within the team, and maybe that's why we weren't performing as well. But this year, they just seem to be all gone. I think we have such a young, new crop coming through. And, like, I genuinely didn't know any of them, 18, 19, 20-year-olds are brand new to the panel this year. So, you know, you just have to make it your business to get to know them. And, you know, like, when you're playing on the same team, it actually does matter, the relationship that you have off the pitch, to play with people, you know. So, like, it's important to kind of gel.
You mentioned being over 10 years involved. This is actually your 14th season. Looking at you, you wouldn't even think it was your third or fourth season. How do you do it? What makes you put on that jersey? What makes you tick? What makes you want to go out in weather like this, train and play for your county?
I suppose, like, from an early age, I was playing football from going up there. My club is Dr. Crokes, and obviously there's a massive Kerry football tradition in Kerry. So I suppose I had two older brothers, and I just was always out playing ball, kicking balls off walls from a very young age. And I suppose every girl who grows up wants to play with their county. And it just happened very early on, I suppose, starting with the primary game. that was around long ago as well. So started playing Kerry with the primary game, and then moved on to under-14s, under-16s, minors, the whole way up along. And like, every day is a privilege when you put on a green and gold jersey, and I'm sure that's with every other county as well. How am I still at it? Every year I ask myself the same question, but I'm still at it. And every year, at the end of every year, I say I'm not going back, and every year I go back. So, like, I love it, and you know, might there be a massive void in my life without it? So, I just keep going as long as I can. It gets harder as you get older. I'm a little bit sore today now than I would have been 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, Diane, like yourself, captained her County Mayo. I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to actually, well, first of all, be able to be good enough to put on my county jersey, but to actually captain your county as well, great privilege.
Yeah, look, I'd say from my side, you know, kind of, it nearly brings me back memory room. I can kind of hear the nostalgia as well in Amanda's voice, because, like, when she talks about pride and to put on that county jersey, like, I'll never forget it, personally. Like, there's nothing that will make you feel that level of pride than putting on your county jersey and representing your county. You're one of a chosen few, and you know, you're very fortunate and able-bodied that you can play Gaelic football and you have the ability to express yourself out in the field like that. You know, I was part of a very good team, I suppose, that stopped Waterford from winning whatever number of All-Irelands they were winning. And you know, to be able to come home to Mayo with the cup, and you know, a couple of times, it was just such a privilege. Like, most importantly, I think going back to my family and seeing my family, that's probably why I'm still involved in Ladies football as a coach, because how I know my parents and family felt the level of pride going home to my local community and my primary school.
Does it add something special to you, Amanda, being captain of your county?
Look, like I said earlier, just there at the end of last year, because last year was so low, I mean, I was saying I'm definitely not going back, you know. But then when the manager gave me a call in November to say that, you know, that I'd be captain, there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that I was going to go back for another year. It was the first time ever that I was sure that I was going to go back, you know. It's absolutely the biggest privilege, like, and so far, like, with the league launch up in Croke Park, it's definitely been the highlight of my whole footballing career. And I feel like it's like just the reward that I kind of got, you know, for all the work that I've put in over the years. It's amazing. It really is. And I'm absolutely delighted, and I love that role.
You're a physical therapist. That's your profession now. Does that help you with your football? And are you able to kind of, you know, be able to help your teammates? You know, I recover on that, because the big thing now with football is injury prevention and your recovery after games.
Yeah, no, it definitely has a little bit of an advantage, right? But to be honest, like, I think all of us girls now who play football, like, we're well educated into what you need to do as well. And like, in teams as well, the facilities are getting much better. I think every team will have a strength and conditioning coach, gym program. You know, it's not a case of just turning up 2 nights a week with a boots anymore. Like, it's gym programs in the winter, in the pre-season, it's running sessions, it's, you know, your own mobility work, it's your foam rolling, it's your hydration, it's your diet. It's not just because I'm a physical therapist that I do all those things. I'm sure there's girls in every single county that are doing the exact same as me, you know. Okay, yeah, I might know the body a little bit better in relation to what to do, and I might need to ask people.
You mentioned the young players coming through, and even looking at it with the Kerry players against Dublin last night, there's something about youngsters nowadays. They've no fear of new players coming onto a panel, and younger players, they seem to have this thing that they don't have any fear, that they play with great confidence.
Yeah, and it's great, because sometimes, like, when we kind of, over the last 5 or 6 years with Kerry, we were kind of wondering, you know, we were questioning ourselves at the end of every season, you know, when we lost, and kind of we lost in about, I think, 5 semi-finals in a row, something ridiculous like that over the maybe a few years back. And we were just questioning ourselves and why can't we pull through? Are we afraid of losing? Is that what's wrong with us, you know? But these young girls have no fear, and it's brilliant. They're really pushing on. And like, we had a few debutants starting yesterday against Waterford, and you know, they played absolutely massive games. And like, I mean, if I was brand new at something, moving on to a new team, I mean, I'd be fierce nervous. But these girls didn't show nerves at all. Like, they're driving on, and they're playing like senior players. Maybe it's the winning attitude from coming from that winning All-Ireland under 16, you know, they have that winning attitude, and they don't actually expect to lose, which is great.
Yeah, you know, and I think if I were them, they're probably looking at you saying, when I get my chance, well, I've got to impress these guys. Like, these, you know, are they're the team, these are the girls that are here, these have been representing Kerry for years. I have to really prove myself here. So I would say that they just go out like absolute hairs out of the trap nearly, because you know, where they're not going with any baggage or anything like that, but they're getting an opportunity, like, from the times they were minor to seniors, sometimes that can be 2 or 3 years. So it's there's like a gap there, and I'd say that they're so, like, to play for Kerry with the history of Kerry football, I can imagine what it would be like, you know, to just get that opportunity. Like, it'd be every kid's dream. And yeah, they're trying to impress you, Amanda, just so that you know.
Jeez, a lot of them have impressed me already, which is great. It'd be worse if they weren't. Yeah, look, we were missing a couple yesterday. We were missing, obviously, Louise Mahartic is injured, and Sarah Hoolan wasn't around yesterday. So we were missing two, essentially, like, top-class forwards in the whole country. Yeah. So we were missing those yesterday, and a couple of the new girls came in and stepped up. So, I mean, they really impressed. Because we didn't get the win, but look, what can you do?
Can you see, Amanda, I know every year you're going out and you're hoping to win a Munster title and then go on and win an All-Ireland, but when you look at the teams, you know, there is, you've got your Dublin still there, you've got your Donegal, and Kerry might be a little bit down, but can you see with the players that you have, is there potential for a senior All-Ireland for those Kerry players in the near future?
Look, of course there is. I mean, I wouldn't be playing if I didn't think there was. Now, you have to be realistic about it as well. Mm. Like, Dublin are a serious outfit. Cork are a serious outfit. But Galway seem to be going flying as well this year. Yeah. You know, there are certain teams that you'll want to beat, and you'll end up meeting them in the latter stages of the championship. And will it be hard to beat them? Absolutely. And like we said, there is a gap between minor and senior. You know, the difference playing minor and moving on the following year to playing senior, the physicality, yeah, the speed, the skill, you know, it is different. And sometimes they say that, you know, these minor girls kind of need to be, you know, pushed around a bit, you know, to just get used to all that different, you know, aspects of moving on to senior. And it might take them 2 or 3 years to kind of really slot in and fit in. But, like, I mightn't have that 2 or 3 years, you know, waiting for them to kind of get themselves up and ready into the senior game. But, like, yeah, of course. I mean, we're gonna try and when come championship, we're gonna try and go out there and win every game. You have to be realistic as well. We're a very young team. I think we've something like 20 of the panel under 21.
You mentioned Galway, and they're a team that are actually building on there. They had underage success, and then you look at Donegal. So there is hope there for other counties that can come in there and break the Mayo, Dublin, and Cork hold.
Yeah, it'd be great to see. I'd like to see, obviously, if we didn't kind of go on to win an All-Ireland, I'd love to see the likes of Galway or Donegal winning an All-Ireland. You know, they're great footballing counties too. Galway have been thereabouts in the last, you know, 5-10 years as well, but they never really made the breakthrough. But I think their underage structure, like, they've had their minor and under 21 teams have been in All-Ireland finals and semi-finals for the last 5-6 years of that. So they, although that pack of girls are bound to be coming through, and, you know, hopefully they'll get some success from it.
You look at the divisions, Amanda, and it's fantastic when you're looking at the high scoring games. We're hoping that a lot of the divisions were evenly matched, but then you get one result and you're like, wow. Like, you look at the Armagh game, or you look at the Loud game over Kilkenny. But hasn't it really just come out in the last couple of years? Like, there's everything to play for in every single division. It's so competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. And the you do, like you say, when you look at the scores, like, we scored 117 last week against Clare, and we didn't even win the game, you know. And they say goals win matches, which is probably true, but there's teams putting up serious scores that you wouldn't see in a men's game, you know. So the skills are really, really improving. It's getting faster, it's getting quicker. It's brilliant, and it's fierce competitive as well, which is great.
So Diane has done the all captaining and managing teams. Would you like to, I know you still have a good few years left in the tank there to play with Kerry, but would you like to go into management, or have you ever thought of going into coaching or that side of things?
I'd actually, you know, I actually would like to be involved in a Kerry setup maybe in the future, yeah. I feel like I can kind of around long enough now to feel that I can read the game well. I actually, my other background is I'm a PE teacher as well as a physical therapist. So I do a lot of kind of coaching in schools in Tralee. So, you know, I suppose being a PE teacher as well, though, it's a little bit different because you're going into a PE class and I suppose half kind of want to be there and half don't want
to
be there. So that's the fight that you start the minute you walk in the door in PE. But with coaching, I think it's a little bit different because you're coaching people who want to be there. And then when you're in the, you know, kind of the elite level, I suppose, as such, with a county team, it would be a little bit different. But yeah, it's definitely something I would look into, maybe not in the next 2 or 3 years at my best, but in the future, maybe.
I know down in Kerry, you live, breathe, sleep football. Is there other sports you're into, or how do you relax if you do get time to relax?
Yeah, I kind of put my hand to every sort of a sport when I was younger. Played when I was in primary school. I played a lot of pitch and putt. Played squash, rowing. Played a lot of basketball. I actually played with Ireland under 15 in basketball as well. But again, I gave that up after that. Because I just couldn't do everything, and that's what the grow was really with the game of football, so I just stuck with that. So yeah, I do a bit of reading and I enjoy cooking.
Amanda, next weekend, apart from your club, Dr. Croke's, playing a club from Longford, Mullin, Yachta, next weekend I'll be wishing Mickey Graham and the lads all the very best. Next weekend is a big weekend in Kerry. It's a bit like you have your festival in Killargan, you have your Rose of Tralee, but you also have your Paddy O'Shea tournament. Sports Talk are down there. They're going to be covering the men's and ladies senior finals live on Facebook Live. And I remember talking to you before about the Paddy O'Shea tournament. It must be absolutely brilliant. Diane, did you ever take part in it?
No, unfortunately. And I would... Absolutely. I'm so sorry that I'm actually going to be missing it myself this weekend. I'm working myself, but what a weekend it is. I know people that have come from John Mitchell's over in Liverpool, and I suppose their Snapchat stories and their Instagram stories and whatever else, it looks like one of those weekends that you, your club, your teammates will remember for the rest of your life, whether you win, lose or draw.
Amanda, it's named after a legend, the late Paddy O'Shea. What a man, you know. He played for Kerry, Captain Kerry. I know he managed our rivals, Westmeath, but even up here, we admired him. 30th anniversary this year. So to be able to go on and still draw crowds and draw clubs from not just Ireland, but internationally.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's great for the county, really. And it's actually a competition I've never played in either, to be honest. We've never really entered a team, but like that, I think it's really about the crack and the camaraderie and like the GAA and MGFA. Like, you never go out on a night out that's better than a team night out, like, because it's just great crack, and that's a night out with your team is better than any bonding weekend, in my opinion, because that's really when you get to know people after a few drinks, you know.
Like this year, there's going to be 44 clubs in it. I know myself, a local club from Longford, Ballymore, in it. Obviously, Mullaghorn beside us and Cavan, they were down there last year. They got to the final, and Aisling Sheridan, who plays for Cavan, got the player of the tournament. It was between herself and her sister Mona. And to just see them, and the fact, I think, when she was playing for a local club, she had all her sisters there. Her mam even played as well. So it just shows, because whatever it is about the county's lovely. But when you go back and play for your club, you know, that's who you are. That's who made you.
Yeah, that's where you grew up. That's where you learned your skills. I mean, you don't get onto county panels with, you know, knowing nothing. And you learned everything that you know from your club. So, I mean, it's not like in soccer or, you know, the Premiership where you're just moving from club to club. Like, you have that love in your heart, and your heart is whatever colour that your club is. So, you know, you owe a lot to your club, and it's great because you've got your relations, your cousins, the whole lot, you know, cheering you on. It's brilliant. Pride for the passages, they say.
So will you be in Turles next Saturday then?
Absolutely, with bells on.
As you said, you know, club is, and where I'm from, my club is Granard. You look at Mullin Yachta, like, and they're rivals to us in Longford. But we are so delighted now. Everyone in Granard and the whole county are getting behind them to go down next weekend to Sampa Stadium. Like, it's going to be an absolutely terrific atmosphere because you've got yourselves, the big kingpins, you know, you won the All-Ireland 2 years ago, dominated football and everything against this club from Longford with about 420 people. It's one of those David versus Goliath games, really.
Yeah, it is. But the thing about it is they have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Whereas Strokes have everything to lose, you know. And it's like people kind of started saying, this team isn't bad. Like when they beat the Dublin at the end of the week, we were kind of saying, right, okay, there's something, they have something up in Longford. What is it? So I think there's actually going to be more pressure on the Crokes next weekend. But look, hopefully there'll be a good result and hopefully it'll be a good game anyway.
Well, that's exactly what we want. Listen, Diane, what would we do without sport?
Like, I only just, when you were saying it there, like, obviously, I went to school in Enniscrone, County Sligo, and the neighbouring town is Easky,
yeah.
And, you know, I know Desi Sloan since I was a child growing up, like, he lives beside my cousins down in Dromore, and Temple Boy, rather. And, like, you know, the funniest thing about it is, like, there's people coming home yesterday to support Easky. Like, there's probably an age gap of about 15 years because of emigration in the area. Like, I saw, like, on social media, like, clubs all over, Mayo, Sligo, yeah. Donegal, wishing Easky luck. You know, this small, tiny little village, like, you know, in Sligo. And there they were in an All-Ireland Junior final yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. It's amazing, like. And I think that's what you have to love about sports. And you have to love, I suppose, the happiness that it brings you.
And I think what makes the GAA special is because, you know, even Amanda was saying about where you're from and you grew up. And it is. It's the lads that, even the Mullignacta lads, even though I'm not from Mullignacta, they're just out the road for me. I covered some of them when they were playing football in the local school. The majority went, I think, 28, that panel went to the school in Granard. So it's all about where you're from, who you know and everything. So hopefully it's a great game. Listen, just one game next weekend. That's Fermanagh and Derry. We have no podcast next week. We'll be back the following week with all the reaction from the weekend's games, hoping to make the big game in Croke Park. That's Dublin and Mayo. So that should be a good game and hopefully we'll have reaction to that. So thank you again to our guest, Amanda Brosnan, to our regular expert, Diane O'Hara. Until the next time, slán go fóill.